Stars in a vast galaxy retreat and spin to create the letter O. Then, an Orion Pictures release. A Salford Pillsbury production. A woman's having her legs waxed in a salon. Another's having her toes painted bright red. Starring Rosanna Arquette and Aidan Quinn. A beautician tests lipstick on the back of her hand. Robert Joy and Mark Bloom. A couple of women are sitting under hair dryers. Others are having their hair washed. Another's having hers cut. The salon's alive with activity. Laurie Metcalf, Will Patton, and Madonna as Susan.
My husband calls, I'm not here. Beautiful stranger, red hair, green jumpsuit, walking dogs in Washington Square Park. Can't forget you, give love a chance. Wacky. I hope she gives him a chance.
Oh, Roberta, please. He's some kind of a pervert. What do you think of this?
He could be sincere.
Nobody named Blackie is sincere.
He can't forget her, he's in love. It's great.
I thought you were reading the want ads.
No, I was. I can't seem to find anything.
Well, just don't settle for anything under $50,000.
Hi, ladies.
Hi, Adrian. Adrian, what do you think? Roberta, the look is you.
Well, I just really wanted a trip.
No, this is your birthday present. I want to give you something different. Adrian, give her something different. Nothing weird, you know.
Oh, don't worry. Her husband will love it.
Wow, here it is. A message from Jim.
Huh?
Desperately seeking Susan. Keep the faith. Tuesday, 10 a.m., Battery Park, Gangway 1. Love, Jim.
Who's Jim?
Oh, God, Susan, that's tomorrow.
Who's Susan? You know these people?
No, you see, Jim follows Susan all over the country. Last January, she was in Mexico City, then Seattle. They send messages back and forth. That's how they hook up. Now they're in New York. Desperate. I love that word. It's so romantic.
Everybody I know is desperate, except you.
I'm desperate.
You?
Sort of.
Roberta smiles to herself and puts a big red circle round the newspaper advert. An almost deserted street under a blue sky. Desperately seeking Susan. Susan, an attractive young woman with wavy blonde hair and bright red lipstick, is lying on the floor with playing cards scattered round her head and two dirty food trays nearby. She holds an instant camera at arm's length and takes a picture of herself, then tucks the photo into an inside pocket of her jacket. Susan rolls over, gets to her knees, and shuffles over to a messy double bed where someone is sleeping. She gets up on the bed and tickles the person's foot. They stir, and she takes a picture of them with the camera. Susan studies it, then rests the photo on the sleeping body. She sits up again, looking bored. Outside, a hotel boy knocks on the door.
Room service? Hi.
Hi.
I got your newspaper and I brought your tequila this time, too.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
He backs in with the food trolley.
What do you want?
It's fine.
Susan puts a tip in his breast pocket.
Don't spend it all on one place.
I won't. Thanks.
She sits down with a newspaper and the hotel boy goes out of the room, closing the door behind him. Susan, whose hair is quite messy and wild, folds the paper in half and reads it with her head resting on her hand.
Jimmy, about time.
She grabs a pencil and draws a love heart around the advert that reads, Desperately Seeking Susan. Keep the faith. Tuesday, 10 a.m., Battery Park, Gangway 1. Love, Jim. Susan helps herself to some gaming chips, a small plate, then some cash from the man's wallet. When she puts the wallet back in his pocket, she finds a handkerchief, which she opens to reveal two large antique earrings.
Nice.
Susan packs the last of her belongings, a towel, some cutlery, and a thin studded belt, into a small round suitcase with skeletons on it, then closes it. She picks up the suitcase and another bag and looks back at the bed.
Bye-bye, Bruce. It was fun, huh?
Then she leaves the hotel room while Bruce carries on sleeping. She walks quickly down the corridor, but her suitcase breaks open and everything spills out onto the floor.
Hold the elevator.
A man coming out ignores her, but gives a sly look back. He stops and turns around and watches while she picks up her bags again and heads for the lift. She gets in, and the blonde-haired man carries on down the corridor. Cars are parked up outside an opulent house, and people are heading inside to a party. A woman in a pink dress shuffles around, handing out canapés on a silver tray, which she then puts down on a table. Another woman comes up to her.
Don't
let me eat these.
They're so good. Hey, I think I found one.
One of what?
Upstairs, come on.
She leads Roberta away.
He's been giving me the eye all night. Who is he?
Who?
In the corner near Gary.
Larry Stillman. Dr. Stillman.
Plastic surgery.
He's Gary's dentist.
Well, at least he's not a PhD.
The woman goes over to Gary and his friends.
Gary, who's your friend?
You know Becky. Oh, Larry Stillman, my sister.
Hi,
Leslie.
How are you doing?
So you're a dentist.
Roberta watches them.
Oh, time out, everybody. We've got a 10:58 spot.
Oh, great. Great.
Gary puts the TV on, and everyone gathers round.
Rosemary will have another installment of her series on growing up in Queens. And the search continues for suspects in the recent robbery of ancient Egyptian artifacts. That and more next on the news at 11.
Yeah.
Hi. I'm Gary from Gary's Oasis. In our New Jersey showroom, we have hundreds of models of whirlpools and hot tubs at the lowest manufacturer to you prices. So come on out to Gary's Oasis. We're open 7 days a week.
Hey, Gary. Come on out.
Blondes in swimsuits pull him into a hot tub.
Gary's Oasis. All your fantasies can come true.
Roberta wanders off and looks at her neatly coiffured hair and sad face in a glass sliding door. She opens it and steps out of the room to a view of a bridge and the city at night. She looks fed up and thoughtful as she gazes out at the scene. A bus with New York City written as its destination pulls up with the bridge in the background. A couple of people get off, including one woman who lifts a small child down. Then Susan steps out, wearing a hat and a large pair of sunglasses. She collects her small case from the baggage compartment, then turns and sets off along the street. Wearing a jacket with a distinctive Chinese pyramid design on the back, she heads down into the subway. Susan's in a woman's public toilet, drying her face in the warm air of a hand dryer. She lifts each arm to dry her armpits as well, then wanders over to the sinks and mirror, where her skeleton suitcase is wide open. She pulls down her braces over her black trousers, then, from the case, takes out a black see-through vest, similar to the bright pink one she's wearing now. She picks out a postcard of the Magic Club, then one of the antique earrings she's found in Bruce's jacket, which she tries on. Then she takes her pink top off, so that she's standing in just a black bra and her many necklaces. Susan goes to a locker and puts her suitcase in it, then shuts the door and locks it with a nail file, releasing the key, which she takes away with her. She puts the key in her pocket and looks around cagily. On a TV screen.
It's gone forever. That funny, young, lost look I loved won't ever come back.
Roberta's watching the film when Gary comes in.
You're watching the bedroom with the headphones.
I know. Gary, do you ever remember your dreams?
I never thought about it. They really went for the commercial tonight, don't you think?
Everyone thought you were great.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to pick up the radio for the car for me tomorrow, aren't you?
Sure.
Oh, don't forget. Tell the guy you're my wife, because we put a sauna in the owner's apartment, and he's given us a really great price.
Nice, huh? Hey, don't eat all that cake.
Gary leaves, and Roberta picks up a newspaper, sighing, to read the ad again. A nightclub. Outside in the street, the Magic Club's neon sign flashes as Susan approaches and goes in. A cigarette girl standing by the entrance.
Dead. Just in New Jersey.
Susan takes a packet for herself and puts it in her bag as she walks up to the bar. She stops and looks towards the stage where a magic act is taking place. An elderly man in a tux is throwing metal hoops to his blonde assistant, who keeps dropping them, although she catches the last one and the audience applaud. Susan walks away from the bar carrying a small cassette player and heads for the back of the stage while the jazz band play. Crystal runs into her dressing room and feels frantically for her glasses.
Hi.
Susan, where have you been?
All over.
Anybody I know?
No, some guy from Atlantic City. It was fun till he started getting serious. How's Trix?
I'm ready to quit this dump, I really am. Ray won't let me wear my glasses on stage, and then Ian gets pissed off because I can't do any of the tricks. I mean, I'm only legally blind. I could understand if I wanted to wear my glasses on my tits, but nobody in this dive is looking at my face anyway.
Oh, come on, Chris, let's just get out of here.
I gotta do the mystery of the disappearing bluebird.
Sounds great.
Can't you wait a few minutes?
Look, I'm really tired. Why don't I get some pizza and I'll meet you at home?
You've got a place?
Not exactly, but I'm working on it.
Oh, no, I know what's coming now.
Just for tonight, I promise. Come on.
Do you promise? Only 7-digit phone call.
Bless my heart. You won't regret it. Thanks.
Welcome back.
I'll see you later.
Roberta's driving over the bridge in an open-topped sports car beneath a blue sky. Susan's walking down a road eating a bag of crisps. A man's buying a newspaper from a vending machine as she passes.
Hey, baby. Get the paper.
He leaves it open so she can help herself, but she takes out a small bundle, then with a smile, drops it on his foot. The guy walks away impressed. Susan notices the front page, which reads, Atlantic City Plunge. Mobster falls from hotel window, and picks it up to read it. She tears off the story and throws the rest of the paper away. Roberta's sitting in her car by the river, reading the Desperately Seeking Susan advert again. She picks up her handbag and gets out of the car, looking around. Then she starts walking along the riverside, past a middle-aged man in a grey suit sitting on a bench, past a woman in a blue dress, and a guy leaning on the railings, a man in African clothes playing the bongos, She stops at a bench and sits down herself, looking quite nervous. Roberta sees a blonde woman waiting by the railings, but a man with a child greets her and they go off together. The guy next to Roberta leans towards her.
Excuse me. You got a light?
No, I don't smoke.
Susan!
The guy runs off, and Roberta eagerly follows him. She stops at some coin-operated binoculars, whips off her sunglasses, and starts looking around. A ferry boat's passing by. She sees Susan sitting on the railings lighting a cigarette, and when the man reaches her, they immediately start kissing. She wraps her arms and legs tightly around him. Then the money runs out. Roberta walks within earshot.
So how come you split like that? You could have said goodbye in person.
Everybody says goodbye in person. Come on, let's go get a drink.
Yeah, okay, but I've only got a few minutes.
Oh, great.
Hey, look, it's a last-minute thing. See, the band got this gig in Buffalo, and we got to start tonight.
Yeah, well, next time, don't put an ad in the newspaper, okay?
Susan, I've been looking for you for weeks.
Come to Buffalo with me?
Uh-uh, you'll be working. It's boring.
Come on, come to Buffalo. I'll find some trouble for you to get into. That'll cheer you up.
I've had enough trouble already.
She shows him the newspaper page.
You were with this guy?
He's breathing when I left.
Hey, Beauty and the Beast, we're gonna hit traffic on the bridge. Let's fly!
I don't like leaving you like this.
Take care of myself.
No. Look, I'll give you a number. You got a pen? All right, it's the number of my friend Des. He's a great guy. And if you really get in a jam, give him a call and they'll know how to reach me.
Has he got any money?
Forget it. He knows all about you.
Roberta watches as the guy gets into his band's van and kisses Susan goodbye through the open window.
No more dead bodies, okay?
I'll see what I can
do. I'll be here next time when I get back.
Jim drives on, and Susan runs alongside for as long as she can, then waves as the van speeds off. Roberta's been watching the whole thing, and she follows Susan as she heads away from the river. Later, she's still following her along a busy street. Keeping out of view behind a large fat man, Roberta watches Susan go up to a hawker in the street, who tries to sell her a pair of sunglasses and a black hat. Susan tries them on, but walks away without buying. Roberta goes up to the same hawker and tries on the same sunglasses and hat. She sees Susan disappearing. Roberta trips over the stall. She runs off. She gets to a side road, sees Susan, and starts following her again. Susan stops outside a trendy boutique and browses through a rack of clothes. Then she goes to the window and looks admiringly at a pair of silver and black sparkly boots. Roberta looks through the same rack of clothes, then at the same boots. While she's at the window, the shop assistant removes the boots from the display. Inside, Susan's walking up and down in them. Looking a bit out of place, Roberta goes in and pretends to look through some clothes while she watches Susan, who notices her. Susan keeps walking up and down, then heads towards the door.
Do me a favor, baby. Stay on the carpet, okay?
You're green, aren't
you? I know.
We gotta have him, man. $65.
That is the price.
Forget it.
I like the jacket.
It used to belong to Jimi Hendrix. Yeah, but I bet he'd love it if I swapped it for the boots.
Deal.
While Roberta's watching the exchange, she drops a dress on the floor. She struggles to pick it up and put it back on the rack. And by the time she's done it, Susan's gone. Roberta runs out of the shop looking for her, but she's nowhere to be seen. Roberta goes back into the shop and up to the man at the counter, who's busy putting Susan's jacket on a hanger.
It's gorgeous, isn't it? Used to belong to Elvis Presley. Want to try it on?
She puts it on and looks at herself in the mirror. A chicken starts rotating on a spit. Coffee drips into a percolator. Roberta runs into her immaculate kitchen with some dry cleaning and a shopping bag. She opens the fridge door and takes out some eggs and a few other things and puts them on the counter, then turns on the TV.
Bold, it's going to have 6 eggs in it. We'll start out with the eggs. Just go very fast. I've done 2x2, and this you can do in the morning.
Roberta follows the recipe.
I'm going to bake it and then unmold it. There, here. 6 eggs. And those get beaten up just a little bit, and then in goes the corn.
Hello, Roberta.
Hello, Julia.
Sorry, girls, I can't stay for dinner. Some guy from West Germany, he's got 1,500 tubs on a boat. He can't get through customs. I gotta go have dinner with him in town. It just happened. I'm sorry. You forgive me? Oh, looks interesting, too. Get a good deal on the radio?
Radio?
Car radio. Didn't you just come from the city?
Oh, my God, the radio.
You forgot the radio?
No. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, I guess I did. You know, Gary, you could have told me about not wanting dinner instead of making me rush.
Rush from where? According to you, you didn't go anywhere. What are you wearing?
Jacket. He used to belong to Jimi Hendrix.
You bought a used jacket? What, are we poor? What's going on here?
Roberta looks at him moodily.
Roberta, I gotta run. I'm late. We'll talk later. All right? All right, we'll talk later. Two-thirds cup of heavy cream. Jimi Hendrix, huh?
Gary leaves the kitchen, and Roberta looks down at her jacket, then takes it off. She throws it over the back of the chair, and something falls out. Roberta walks over and picks up the small key from the locker that Susan put her suitcase in. Later, Roberta's in the bath, and on the side, she's got the key, the photograph of Susan, and the newspaper cutting that reads, "Mystery Woman Sought for Questioning." Susan's in the shop, arguing with the sales assistant. He shrugs, so Susan takes a card and writes something on it. Roberta's also writing, "Desperately seeking Susan. Meet me, Battery Park, Thursday, 4 p.m. Regarding key." She thinks for a moment, then signs it, "A stranger." The advert appears in the newspaper, and Susan reads it and smiles.
Good going, stranger.
What stranger?
Festival seating. That means Port of Sands means pissing with flies. I'm not gonna piss with flies. You guys can piss in bottles. What the hell is this, Woodstock?
A cinema screen showing a huge fight scene with some sort of bald-headed, unearthly beings. A young man in the projection room smoking while he watches the film.
Objection.
Dez, it's me, Jim.
Jim, hold on a second, will you?
Dez quickly changes the reel.
Look, I'm stuck in Buffalo, and I need a favor. It's about Susan.
See, now some guy she met in Atlantic City got pushed out of a hotel window.
Really sounds well. I'm sorry I missed it.
This is serious, Dez. Okay, and now...
Some guy's run an ad to meet her in Battery Park, signed a stranger. It sounds weird. I was wondering, maybe could you just go down there
and make sure she's okay?
Listen, Jim, Victoria split on me last night.
I'm not in the mood for being a Boy Scout right now.
But come on, Dez. It'll take you half an hour.
Come on! Just give me a chance here, all right? One second.
Okay. She's supposed to meet him at 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock? That's in less than an hour.
Jim, I got a job here, you know?
Just one favor.
Look, even if I could get someone to fill in for me, I don't even know what she looks like.
Well, look, you can't miss her. She's incredibly pretty. Blonde hair, medium height. Oh, and she's got this green and gold jacket with a pyramid with an eye on top like a dollar bill. You can't miss it.
All right, you owe me one.
Great. Thanks, Dad. Look, I appreciate it.
Roberta's dressed up like Susan.
I lived in New York all my life. You used to have Chinese restaurants, Italian restaurants. Now you have these sushi restaurants. Everyone goes for sushi. Sushi, I hate this stuff. Although I'll tell you, I had some the other day. I took it home, I cooked it, it wasn't bad. It tasted like fish.
Susan's in the cab doing her makeup, while Roberta's by the river dressed just like her. Her jacket, wavy hair, purple jeans. The blonde-haired man from the hotel sitting on a bench, spying on her from behind a newspaper. He compares Roberta with a photograph of Susan. They're almost identical. Susan pulls up in the taxi.
9:20.
Here, keep the change.
Whoa. Hey, what is it? Hey, lady! Hey, lady! What is
this?
Oh, it's cute.
Oh. The blonde-haired man sidles up to Roberta.
Hi. You look like I've seen you somewhere before.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I think so. You doing anything right now?
I'm waiting for someone.
Susan makes her way through the crowd and sees Roberta and the man. But the cab driver's called a policeman, who takes Susan's arm.
I'm gonna make this.
You don't understand. I have to meet someone here.
We'll talk about it in the car.
She's got all my stuff. She'll give you the goddamn cab fare.
Roberta's walked off.
I don't need this kind of aggravation. I work for a living. Except for services. I know the law.
The man follows.
Hi. Excuse me, but do you like candy? I've got some chocolate.
No, thank you.
I wanted to say, why don't we have a chat? Because I was very close to your boyfriend in Atlantic City.
Well, No, I'm married.
I don't think so.
Dez is looking for her on a takeaway delivery scooter.
Susan? Would you like to wear the pretty little earrings that he gives you? Why don't we have a little chat? Because my car is just over here.
Let go of me!
Susan!
Let go!
Roberta runs away from the blonde-haired man and cracks her head on a lamppost, which knocks her to the ground unconscious. Her bag also comes free and falls into the river.
Susan? Susan?
What happened?
Are you okay?
My head hurts.
I'm Dez. I'm a friend of Jim's.
Jim?
Your boyfriend, Jim. Who was the guy he asked on you?
The guy?
The guy that just ran off.
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't remember.
You don't remember? Are you okay? You want to see a doctor?
I'm okay.
You're okay. She's okay. Show's over. She's okay. Easy. What's up? You remember anything?
I don't know.
How'd you get here?
I don't know.
Do you remember what you had for breakfast?
I don't know.
You are Susan, aren't you?
Susan?
You don't know. All right, what do we have here? No purse? Do you have anything in your pockets, maybe?
She pulls a scrap of paper and the locker key out of her jacket pocket.
Is that it? Ah, now we're getting someplace. This is my phone number. Jim must have given it to you.
It's like a deja vu.
How can you have a deja vu if you don't remember anything?
No, no, I mean, this is all deja vu.
This is a Port Authority locker key. Right, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to run you up to the Port Authority. Maybe what's ever in the locker will help you snap out of it. How's that?
Okay.
Okay? Let's go.
Des leads her over to the scooter.
Wait a minute. This isn't some sort of trick, is it?
What do you mean?
I mean, I know a little bit about you, okay? So don't even consider jerking me around because I'm not in a great mood today.
Sure, I mean, I wouldn't jerk you around. I don't even know you.
You better wear this.
Roberta puts on a red bike helmet while Des starts the engine. As she gets on behind him, neither notice the blonde-haired man watching them. At the Port Authority, they find the locker for the key and open it. Roberta pulls out the suitcase. She lays it down on the floor, sits down and opens it, taking the items out one by one.
You sure do move around a lot, huh?
Yeah, I guess.
She picks up a handful of cutlery, a black corset, then from a side pocket, one of the antique earrings, which she holds up in front of her to look at.
So this stuff does look familiar, right?
Well, it's not completely unfamiliar. You know, when I close my eyes, I see a pyramid.
A pyramid? Like on your jacket?
Oh, yeah. Must be what it is.
Well, at least you got everything. I hope you're feeling better. You are feeling better, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I gotta go. I gotta get the scooter back. So, I'll see you around maybe sometime, huh? Maybe, I'll see you with Jim, okay? All right, take care. Bye.
Bye.
Des stops and looks back, but then he carries on, leaving Roberta sitting on the floor next to the suitcase. She looks inside again, frowns, and picks out a half-empty packet of cigarettes. Des is going down the escalator, but still appears to be worried about Roberta. Halfway down, he turns round and starts running back up it.
Susan, have you got a place to sleep tonight?
She shakes her head, an unlit cigarette sticking out of her mouth. He jogs over to her.
You can sleep in my place. One night, on the couch. But I don't want any drama. I don't want any of your friends coming over. And I want nothing disappearing from my apartment. You got that?
She nods vigorously and lights the cigarette.
Maybe you should quit.
Susan's in a prison cell with her face against the bars and a cigarette in her mouth, which a policewoman lights.
Thanks. You're welcome. Okay, you're out of here.
It's about time.
Susan leaves the cell. She walks up an escalator, making her way past a few people who are riding it. When she gets to the top, she goes to the large bank of lockers with a crowbar, finds hers, then sees that the door is open and her case has gone. Roberta and Des are making their way with the traffic along a busy road, the small scooter looking a bit precarious with both of them on it and the suitcase in the front basket. They pull up at the Dragon Noodle restaurant and jump off. They walk past the restaurant into a dark alleyway, then up some fire steps towards Des's apartment.
People live here?
Yes, people live here.
I thought it was sort of unusual, that's all.
Two flights up.
Des takes the suitcase, and they pass someone coming down with a box.
Oh, sorry.
Then someone else.
Oh, sorry, man. Excuse me. They look exactly like my suitcases.
They carry on up to a door on the next level, which Des opens to let Roberta in. There are more stairs inside, and more people coming down them carrying belongings.
Whoa, wait a minute. What do you think you're doing? Give me that. Thank you. What the hell is going on here?
Des gets to his apartment, which is almost completely empty. A young man and woman walk through.
That's just great, Victoria.
It's my stuff, Des.
So you just come and take it. No phone call, no discussion, no nothing. How you doing?
Fine. Listen, I'm gonna take this stuff down to the Porsche.
I believe some of that stuff is mine, like the answering machine. Like the Charlie Parker record?
Oh, you can have it here.
Thank you.
I'll send you a check for the rest, all right?
A check? Great.
Victoria sees Roberta standing by the door.
Hi.
Hi.
He's really a nice guy. You'll be happy together.
Okay.
You know, you could do a lot with this place. There's a lot of light.
It happens, right?
Oh, hi, Des. It's Jim here. I'm just calling to see, you know, if Susan's okay. I'm calling from, I don't know where we are, but it's some motel. Hey, where are we? Anyway, no, look, I'll call you tomorrow, okay? And thanks again for everything. Your pal. Thanks a lot. Okay, bye.
That's got to ring some bells.
Honestly, no.
No? Terrific. I need a drink. Do you want something to drink?
All right. Whatever you have. Apple juice, Coke, Perrier.
Miller or Heineken?
All right.
Which?
Either one. Please.
Des goes out, and Roberta walks over to look at the fish tank.
I don't believe.
She follows him into the next room, where he's standing by the window.
She took the refrigerator.
Leslie and Gary.
What did the police say?
That most of these cases turn up in 24 hours.
Did you tell them about the jacket, her wedding ring, and the soap dish?
I told them. They seem to think she's having an affair.
Oh, my God, maybe she is.
That's ridiculous. Roberta is not having an affair. She's much too uptight.
That is a horrible thing to say. I suppose you're proud of the way you're running around with Becky Schumann.
I didn't know you knew about Becky. Anyway, we're not running around. We're having a perfectly respectable affair.
Gary, let me ask you something.
What?
Does Roberta have orgasms? I mean, did she have them with you?
Orgasms?
You have heard of them, haven't you? I mean, maybe the reason she left you was because you weren't satisfying.
Leslie, not everybody is obsessed with orgasms. Some people just have them.
Did she?
Well, what? Did Phil Donahue do a show on
orgasms? Oh, you are really a pig. You know that. At least I know about feelings.
Feelings. I feel.
You're disgusting, Gary. You're just like Daddy. No wonder Roberta left you.
Would you stop saying that?
Gary?
Larry.
That looks great. Any word from Roberta yet?
Fast work, Les.
Oh, let's have some chicken.
The chicken is for tomorrow. Larry!
What did the police say?
I can't believe the two of you are eating in the middle of a crisis like this.
We're nervous.
Leslie walks out.
She has great teeth.
That's why I showed up at Battery Park. Jim said a friend of yours got killed outside your hotel in Atlantic City. He was pretty worried.
Killed? Dead?
Sort of goes with the territory, doesn't it, Susan?
Maybe I know who did it. I wish I could remember.
Maybe you were the killer.
No. I should probably lay low for a while, huh?
That might be a wise idea. So you don't know who the guy at the pier was? Maybe a jilted lover?
I don't think so. Maybe he was.
You know something? You are not at all what I expected.
You're not quite what I expected either.
Des doesn't quite know where to look. Roberta's distracted by a man playing saxophone in the apartment opposite.
Just how did I meet him? I mean, how did I meet him? Maybe it would help.
I think it was at some coffee shop. It was your first day at work. Jim waltzed in. He brought his food over, and you ripped up the check.
Is he tall? I mean, Jim.
It's about medium.
Is he sort of thin?
Sort of, my build.
What color eyes does he have?
Blue.
Yours?
Roberta leans forward and they kiss.
I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. Sorry.
She swigs from a bottle of tequila. Later, Roberta's lying alone in bed. She's awake and playing gently with her hair, a faint smile on her lips. She looks over in the direction of Des, who's on the other side of a glass-pane door, sleeping on the floor. Roberta rolls onto her side and lifts her head as if to see Des through the door, then lies down again. A moment later, Des also lifts himself up, as if trying to see Roberta through the door. Then he lies down again. Outside, the blonde-haired man sits in his car, sheltering from the rain and waiting. A cat licks the glass of the fish tank. Des is waking up. As he gets up and lifts the cat away, he sees Roberta getting dressed through the glass. Transfixed, he watches her pull a sparkly green dress up over her bare breasts. When she moves towards him, he lies back down again and pretends to be asleep with the cat. She gently touches his shoulder.
Yes. Yes.
She's dolled up to the nines with full makeup and costume jewelry.
You want to go out to breakfast with me?
Breakfast? What have you got on? Some sort of disguise?
You don't like it?
No, it's sort of charming.
It's my treat.
What'd you do, rob a bank?
I don't know. Maybe.
Where do you want to go?
You see, I found this in the suitcase.
A matchbook.
Gunny's Coffee Shop? I know the place. It's over on Center Street.
Maybe that's the place where I met Jim.
So?
So we go there and see if anybody remembers me.
So what do you think? Anyone look familiar?
No, not yet.
While Des looks at the menu, Roberta rifles around in a carrier bag, then pulls out the postcard for the Magic Club.
Suitcase. You ever hear of it?
Magic Club? Yeah, that's the place over on Broadway. Why?
I thought I'd go there this afternoon and see if I remember anyone.
You know what you're having?
Sure. What are you having?
Well, it's your treat, right?
Yeah, I got money.
I'm gonna have blueberry blintzes.
I'll have that too. That sounds good.
What can I get you?
Yes, I would like a coffee and a donut.
Miss, when you get a chance, could you take our order?
You can stay. She's got to go. Nick, it's that crazy girl with the jacket.
What?
You, out.
You know me?
Yeah, I know. You want a free meal? Go someplace else.
Well, I ain't got money. I can pay
you. I don't want your money. Once you're out of here. Come on.
Wait. We got money. What is this?
Mind your own business.
This is my business. Wait a minute.
Make your business. Come on. Wait. Come on.
Come on, sir.
Look, I don't press charges. All right.
Yes. Are you okay? Are you all right? I'm sorry.
Rule number one was no drama. Remember?
Yes, I know. I'm sorry.
Let's get out of here.
I'm sorry.
In the coffee shop, the blonde man picks up the Magic Club postcard, which was dropped in the scuffle. Then he looks out the window and sees Des and Roberta getting into a cab. Susan's sitting on an old sofa outside the Magic Club. She walks round the ladder.
My luck can't get much worse anyway, miserable scumbags. Maybe I should have slept with him.
Man, some witch steals my clothes. Ego gets pushed out a hotel window and now you get fired.
No offense, but bad luck really seems to be following you around.
Look, we're both free now. Let's just go to the movies. A double feature? Come on.
I'll pay for the movie if you pay for the popcorn.
Okay, but listen, how much is popcorn?
$2.50.
On a board outside the club, Crystal's photo is replaced with a help wanted sign. In the cab.
This must be the place. Sir, could you pull over, please? This is it. I'm sorry about what happened. Are you sure you're not angry?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm not angry.
Okay. You're a real pal. I'll tell Jim. Bye.
Bye.
Roberta gets out at the Magic Club, and the cab drives on.
You're a real pal. I'll tell Jim. Bleecker Street Cinema?
Roberta sees the help wanted sign next to a photo of Ian the Magician, then hurries inside.
Just don't fire someone like that. Who am I going to find on such short notice?
Come on, Ray, you know lots of girls.
Oh, there are plenty of good women out there looking for it.
Ma, will you let me take care of this?
Hello?
You saw the sign outside?
Are you looking for a job?
Yeah, I think I am.
She thinks she's looking for a job.
No, I am. What kind of job?
Come on in. This is Ray.
Hello.
This is Ray's mom, Gilda.
Hi.
This is Henry.
Hi.
Hello, Henry.
And I'm Ian.
Gary's sitting eating mashed potato from a ready meal when his cleaning lady comes in carrying the pink bag from the trendy boutique.
You okay, Mr. Glass?
Fine, thank you. Good night, Daisy.
I hope I get good news about Mrs. Glass.
Thank you. Where did you get this bag?
It's mine. Mrs. Glass gave it to me.
Give me the bag, Daisy.
Sorry, you ain't getting this.
Daisy, give me the bag.
I'm sorry.
Daisy, please, I'm asking you nicely. You're
getting this.
Gary parks his convertible with its tub and spa license plate on a downtown street, and three guys lean back against it.
Hey, guys, could you have your picnic somewhere else?
Gary heads towards the boutique, but when he looks back, they're sitting on the car again.
Hey, guys! Just try to be careful, all right?
Listen, I don't get involved in domestic disputes, okay?
There's no dispute. She was wearing the jacket when she disappeared. It was very special to her for some reason. Don't you even remember her? Don't you remember the jacket? It was black and gold, and it had a sort of a pyramid thing on the back of it, like on a dollar bill.
Vaguely.
Great. Thanks. You've been a terrific help.
Wait a minute. She stopped in here looking for the jacket, too. Maybe you can help each other.
Susan, will you get the phone? Susan, the phone's ringing.
In the middle of painting her toenails, Crystal gingerly steps over a pizza box to get to the phone.
Hello? Yeah, hold on, she's waiting.
What?
It's another one of your secret admirers.
Hello? Yeah? Who is this? Gary Glass? Uh-huh. Oh, so you're the witch's husband. Where's my stuff? Yeah? Yeah? Well, maybe I could help you. Listen, meet me tonight at 10:30 at 30 West 21st Street. I'll be waiting on the third floor near the bar. You got that? All right, I'll see you there.
Hey! Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Magic Club. I'm your host, Big Ray. We have a wonderful lineup for you this evening, ladies and gentlemen, for all you people. You, sir, and the man in the red shirt. Where are you from?
I'm from Brooklyn.
Brooklyn. Do we have anyone else here in the house from Brooklyn? Oh, right here, right? Why don't you two guys share a cab home afterwards? This is a great audience. Okay, let's get on with it. Introducing back from his success.
Roberta's in a pink tutu dress.
Susan, from now on, I want you here 5 minutes before the act begins. Remember, we start with the doves. You look beautiful. Smile.
Divina, queen of the night. So let's hear it from all you lovely people. Come on, let's hear it.
The curtain goes up with a puff of stage smoke. Ian waves around an empty net, then magically deposits a bird in the cage Roberta's holding. And another. The cigarette girl moves through the club.
Menthol, extra long, ultra thin, extra ultra long and thin, regular, premium, unleaded.
Ian produces another white bird from a colorful scarf, but when he goes to pass it to Roberta, it flies off. A cocktail waitress carries a tray of drinks over to a table and sets down a glass. The strange blonde man picks it up. Now carrying a silver tray, Roberta's distracted by the flapping bird. She carries the tray over to a couple's table where Ian is. He lifts off the tray's silver lid, then strikes a match. He throws the match into the tray and flames erupt. Then he adds a napkin. The blonde man is keeping his eye firmly fixed on Roberta and the antique earring she's wearing. Ian uncovers the tray and a white bird appears. It instantly flies off. As Roberta teeters off across the club after it, the blonde man watches her. Wearing a ruffled shirt and bow tie, the host Ray takes a peek out from the side of the stage. Ian has managed to retrieve the bird and is heading back to the stage with Roberta following behind him. The curtain catches her blonde wig on the way down.
This one's worse than the other one.
Nice try, kid. Here you go. $20. We'll see you tomorrow night at the same time.
You're hiring me?
Well, of course, we're hiring you.
Oh, thanks, that's great, thank you.
You take these guys home and you practice, all right? And Susan, practice a lot, okay?
All right.
Good.
She stuffs the $20 down her cleavage, then carries off a cage of birds. You can dance. In a nightclub, the dance floor is heaving with an exotic mix of post-punks and new romantics. In a lift, a guy with back-combed hair offers a light around, then he and a group of others step out. Standing stiffly at the back, wearing a suit and tie, is Gary. He waits for everyone else to leave, then hesitantly steps out into the club, his face bathed in pink neon light. As he makes his way through the dancers, a woman gives him a funny look. Wearing a black vest, fingerless gloves, and bangles, Susan leans against a jukebox and sways to the music. Trying to fit in, Gary does an awkward little bop as he makes his way to the bar. Susan instantly clocks him and casually makes her way over with her drink. She stops next to him, leans back against the bar, and folds her arms.
Gary Glass, right?
Yeah, how did you know?
Wild guess. Split on you, huh?
Yeah, 2 days ago.
Well, has she ever split on you before?
No, of course not.
She did drugs?
Drugs? Roberta? She's never smoked a joint in her whole life. She's probably the straightest person in Fort Lee.
Uh-huh.
What are you driving at?
You want something to drink?
No, thanks. I'm on this health program, you know. No alcohol, no sugar.
You want to dance?
Susan's dancing flirtatiously with a guy when Gary catches up with her on the floor.
Read it. Stuff in the newspaper about that guy Meeker. He got pushed out of a hotel window in Atlantic City.
No, why?
Roberta's mixed up in it.
Roberta, that's impossible.
Fact. She's trying to frame me for Meeker's murder.
Who's Meeker? Who's Meeker and what does it have to do with Roberta?
Ex-partner and Roberta were in on it together.
I think you're mistaken. Roberta doesn't know anybody in Atlantic City.
I've seen them together.
So Roberta with another man? Who?
Looks like a real greaseball to me.
I don't believe a word you're saying.
Here, trust me. You want to find your wife?
Yeah, of course I do.
Good. Let's go to your place.
My place?
A drag queen gives him the eye as he follows Susan into the lift. Still wearing her tutu dress and laden down with bags and the birdcage, Roberta is leaving the Magic Club. She teeters off along the dark, grimy street, pausing to look at a guy slumped in a heap on the ground. As she passes a side door to the club, it opens a fraction. Then the blonde man creeps out and begins following her. Looking anxious, Roberta hurries past old furniture and rubbish strewn across the pavement. The man keeps her in his sights. She seems to hear his footsteps. When she starts to run, he quickens his pace. Struggling with what she's carrying, she dashes down a back alley where a small fire is burning. Moments later, the man appears at the far end of the alley and hurries down it. Hiding around a corner, Roberta sees him, then notices a nearby doorway and runs through it. The man arrives at the end of the alley, looks about, then runs off in the opposite direction. Roberta enters a room where a security guard is watching TV.
Excuse me, sir. Please, there's someone following me.
¿Cómo carajo tú entraste aquí?
Please, could you? There's a man following me. Couldn't you just please?
How'd you get in here? You're not supposed to be in here.
I know. I'm sorry, sir, but could you please see if he's gone, please? There's a man following me. Could you see if he's gone?
Okay.
Thank you.
You stay here. Enrique will take care of it.
Thank you.
Not mal. Yeah. Coño.
After eyeing her up, he heads out. She looks up towards the TV, then sits down at his cluttered desk. On TV, the sequined lovely finishes her dance act. Then an ad for Gary's Oasis comes on. Roberta frowns.
Hola, soy Gary de Gary's Oasis. En nuestro nuevo local en New Jersey tenemos cientos de bañeras calientes a los precios más bajos. Así que venga a Gary's Oasis, abierto 7 días a la semana.
Hola, Gary.
No, muchachas, no. At Gary's Oasis, all your fantasies can come true.
Bienvenidos
sir?
A la vista. Mi nombre es Coco Goya.
Hi, Coco.
Sir.
¿Qué les puedo decir? La gente que conoce lo mejor no les pide lo mejor.
Roberta carries her stuff back out into the alley, then hurries off in the same direction as the blonde man. A cab drives by at the far end. It doesn't stop. She rushes out into the road, then runs off along the street. She goes over her heel. As she limps on, the blonde man suddenly grabs her and pulls her into a dark doorway.
I have money in my bag! What?
Hey, the earrings. I need them.
Huh? My earrings! No.
All right. Avoid a fate of your late beloved boyfriend.
A police car's lights flash and she struggles free only to trip and fall. The blonde man grabs her bag and his gun, then disappears through a hole in a nearby wall. An officer shines his torch on the birdcage, then Roberta sprawled out on the ground.
I see you're a pimp.
What?
All right, play it that way. Come on, sweetheart, you've just got a little bump on your head. You'll save it.
He and his colleague haul her to her feet.
What's your name? Got a name, don't you? All right, we'll settle this at the station house.
Roberta.
Roberta, that's a name.
I'm not who you think I am.
She and the cage are bundled into the back with a hooker.
How do you use the birds?
Plush pad. She looks around appreciatively, then sprays some perfume on her neck.
Place you got here, Gare.
Well, we like it.
She tries out the bed.
Firm.
Yeah.
She finds white knickers in a drawer.
They're Roberta's.
How to be your own best friend. I'm okay, you're okay? Dr. Ruth's Guide to Good Sex. He's Roberta's too?
I didn't know she read this stuff.
You know, Gary, between you and me, what do you really know about Roberta? Nice wallpaper.
As he puts the books back in the drawer, she wanders into a walk-in closet, takes a sparkly black coat off a hanger, then puts it on.
Don't you think you ought to wait for Roberta before you start taking her clothes?
She owes me a coat.
She moves into the ensuite bathroom, switches on the light, then stands on the scales.
What's she weigh?
Roberta, 105, 110.
We're close. Very close. Nice tub.
You like it? It's one of our most popular items. You can install it in any bathroom, and it increases the resale value of your house or condominium.
I didn't say I wanted to buy one.
Right. Sorry.
You know, I could get used to a place like this.
All right, stop. Face forward. Smile. Turn left. Next.
Roberta makes her call from the station. A police officer looks up from her newspaper.
My husband. We live in Fort Lee.
There are things happening in solar systems so far away that we can't even see them. What do they care? What do they care if I am the spa king of New Jersey?
Hello. Glass house. Hello.
Spa king of New Jersey.
Hello.
Spa king of New Jersey. Spa king.
Roberta hangs up.
Could I call someone else, please?
Go ahead.
She gets out the scrap of paper with Des's number, then picks up the phone. Later, a matronly guard carries the birdcage through a locked door leading to the cells. To Roberta.
All right, you and the pink tutu. Let's go.
Roberta stands up, then turns back to one of the hookers.
Nice to have met you.
She better have a damn good explanation of where she's been.
I haven't even seen her, and already you're yelling.
I am not yelling. I am simply wondering aloud why she couldn't have picked up a phone and called me if she was
just
in trouble.
Just hear her side of it before you do anything stupid.
Mr. Glass, Sergeant Tasker. Have a seat.
Oh, my sister, Leslie.
Right. She was arrested last night on the Lower East Side. She's in a holding tank downstairs. I'll have her brought up. I telephoned you as soon as I realized that the photographs matched up. Hey, Ryan Taskell here. Bring up Glass. Now, we're dropping the charges. Her husband is here. Well, obviously, he hasn't picked her up yet.
Oh, Roberta.
I can see that. Oh, my God.
Mr. Glass, somebody paid your wife's bail a little while ago, and she was released. You just missed her.
Who paid her bail?
Boyfriend, pimp, who knows?
Pimp?
I don't know how to thank you, Des. I mean, I'm really, really sorry about this.
Consider it my final favor, Susan. I must say you are really living up to your reputation.
Oh, see, now that's just it, Des. That's it. I'm not who you think I am.
I don't care who you are.
No, I didn't mean it that way. See, it's really getting complicated here because I want to explain it to you. I'm not...
Stay right there.
Des notices his apartment door is ajar and cautiously approaches. Stepping inside, he finds his reels of film are lying in a tangle across the floor.
I don't believe it.
God.
I don't believe Victoria would do this.
Oh, my God. Maybe it was the guy who grabbed me last night.
What? The guy who grabbed you?
See, he was after me, Des. Well, not me exactly. He was after Susan, wherever she is, who I'm not. And he thinks she's staying here, which she isn't, because I am. See?
I don't want to hear it. First of all, I get thrown out of my ass on the sidewalk. Then I have to fork up $200 bail to get you out of jail. Now I come home and the whole place is torn apart. Why, I don't know. You know, I really don't need this, Susan. I really don't.
Fine. I'll leave.
She stomps across to the bed, sliding on some film, then starts clumsily packing up her things.
You know, I could have been killed last night, Des. I was really scared. Get it. Sorry about this mess. Well, I can pay you back. I'll send you a check.
Great, another check.
Her case opens and spills across the floor. She tosses her things back in, then breaks down. He crouches beside her and gives her a hand.
Sorry.
Hey. This mess isn't so bad. I've had worse parties than this.
He clears her hair out of her eyes and lets his hand linger on her face. Then they slowly lean in for a tender kiss. He shoves the birdcage out of the way so he can get closer. Then he scoops her up into his arms and they fall backwards on the floor. Still kissing, he stands up and carries her towards the bed. Susan swims through the clear water of Gary and Roberta's pool, then climbs out wearing a black bra and boxer shorts. She goes over to a sun lounger that's surrounded by her clutter and lies back on it like a lady of leisure. With her eyes closed, she feels around for her mirrored shades and slips them on. Then she reaches for a cheesy puff crisp and pops it in her mouth. She picks up a remote control and turns on the TV.
Why didn't I take the train to the plane?
Flunky, oh, it's the only one with Valex.
Richard Nolan and Bruce Meeker, you may recall, were released pending appeal of their 1982 conviction for smuggling. Nolan and Meeker are the prime suspects in the disappearance last week of the Nefertiti earrings from the Cairo collection currently on display here in New York.
Nefertiti?
Nolan is still...
It's not that uncommon. I was reading an article last week about a woman who had turned tricks in the city from 9 until noon, then shop all afternoon before going home. She did it for years before her husband found out about it.
Roberta can't be a prostitute. She doesn't even like sex that much. It's impossible.
Gary and Leslie get out of his car and make their way around the side of the house.
Oh, my God. I have heard that 4 out of 5 prostitutes are lesbians.
Leslie, I think that I would know if my wife was a lesbian.
Why? You didn't know she was a prostitute. Gary, I think you have got to accept the fact that there is something very unusual going on in your relationship.
I'll tell you what. Susan. Susan!
Who's Susan?
Don't get the wrong idea. She was helping me find Roberta.
Yes, I believe she bought it, Joe. She rang her buzzer.
Susan! Susan! What are you doing here?
I got good news and bad news. What do you want to hear first?
You said you were going to leave.
Okay, good news first. Your wife isn't partners with the greaseball.
Susan, my wife has just been picked up on the Lower East Side, escaping from her gun-toting pimp.
He's not a pimp.
He's not a pimp.
He's not a pimp.
Yeah.
The bad news is that he's probably going to kill her because he thinks she's me.
What?
Did you ever read this? She kept a diary. It's great stuff. Couldn't sleep. Went into kitchen. Gary came in. Turned on light. Gary left. Finished birthday cake. Pages of it. It's got to be a cover. Nobody's life could be this boring.
You shouldn't be reading that. It's private.
Yeah, well, it's not about her. It's about me. Listen to this. He's looking for Susan again. She's late returning Mexico. This is the fifth ad he's run. Why does he want to see her so badly? Who is she? And there's my picture. Gary, why didn't you tell me she read the personals? We could have settled this yesterday.
She read them all the time. I didn't think...
Yeah, well, fortunately for everybody, I'm here and I'm thinking. Give me the car keys. I'll bring her right back. Hiya.
Gary, she is taking the car keys.
Shut up, Leslie. Okay.
Diary. That little sneak. What did she say about me?
Susan bumps a car as she parks on a street downtown. Wearing just white stockings together with one of Gary's shirts, she attracts the interest of three guys hanging around outside a building. Inside the New York Mirror office, she fills in a form, then hands it to a clerk.
Desperately seeking strangers seeking Susan. Regarding key, meet me Saturday night, Magic Club, Broadway, 9:30 p.m. Be there. Is that it?
She'll love it.
Pay at the cashier.
A middle-aged man steps up.
Single white male, 40, looking for afternoon playmates. Is that it? Pay at the cashier.
Roberta wakes up in bed, lying on Desi's chest. She looks up at him, then buries her face. He opens his eyes.
Des. I'm not Susan. I'm a housewife, and I live in Fort Lee, New Jersey. I've been married for 4 years. My husband, Gary, he sells bathroom spas and saunas.
You never stop, do you?
No, really. Really.
That's what I like about you. I never know what you'll say next. Come here.
They kiss.
What is that?
I don't know. He's trying to get in.
He picks up a film reel, hides behind the door, then when the intruder enters, bashes him over the head with it.
Oh, oh my God. Oh my God, it's Jim.
Jim. Oh, thank God you had me worried. How you doing, man? Huh?
There's somebody jumped me. It was dark.
Yeah. Well, it was me. I thought you were somebody else.
Who did you think I was?
Well, somebody's been following Susan around. I thought maybe you were him.
Who's following her?
I don't know. You know, Susan, it's really tough to get a straight answer out of her.
She needs me, Des. I think maybe she's ready to settle down.
Settle down, Susan? Come on, Jim. She'd never do that. She's really not the type.
Since when do you know her so well?
Well, I just can't see her settling down. I mean, she's too wild. But that's what's so great about her.
Is that so? I mean, you really seem to have examined this.
Oh, well, we've been spending some time together.
But just what are you saying here, Des? Huh? Oh, man. Why don't you just hit me again and, like, finish me off?
Look.
Huh?
Cry about it. I'm really crazy about her, and she's really crazy about me. I'm sorry.
Well, listen, I know Susan. I mean, she plays with people, Des. I ought to know. I've been chasing her for years.
All right, Jim. Why don't we just ask her? Susan?
You mean she's here?
Susan? Come on out of here.
Susan?
Susan?
Roberta's disappeared from the kitchen and the window's open. They peer out at the fire escape.
She's gone. She was here. I swear to God.
Roberta's sitting with the birdcage on a park bench. She taps her black ankle boots restlessly on the ground, then notices a homeless guy crashed out on the next bench along with a newspaper over his head. She helps herself to the top sheet and sees the ad. Desperately seeking stranger, seeking Susan regarding key. Meet me Saturday night, Magic Club, Broadway, 9:30 p.m. Be there. Roberta carefully puts the personal ad sheet back over the guy's head, but it blows away. Des and the cat are lying in a hammock on his roof.
Hey, Des, you up there?
Yeah?
Guess what, man? I think she's jerking us both around.
What do you mean?
You check this out. I mean, who the hell is this stranger?
The three old-timers of the Magic Club's house band are in full swing. Susan steps through a bead curtain with Gary, Leslie, and Larry in tow.
Susan, I still don't understand what we're doing here.
Trust me, Gary. You're in for a real surprise.
Hey, Susan, listen, your little surprises are beginning to make me nervous.
What'd she say?
She says we're in for a real surprise.
Well, I guess we're not going to see Tony Bennett in this place.
I'd settle for a police escort. How could you let her wear Roberta's jacket?
Hey, she's cold. She's got to wear something.
You cut your fingernails, isn't it? I can hear, I don't hear what you say. And I'm not gonna yell at you. Hey, Ryan! Yell at
me. Des, if she sees us both here, she'll probably just split again.
I know.
You can go home.
The cocktail waitress.
Let me guess. Triple tequila sunrise. Ginger ale.
Gary puts up his hand.
Near the scotch. This must be yours. Rum and tab.
Susan checks Gary's watch.
Sit tight. I'm gonna go look for the stranger.
What stranger?
God, she's gorgeous.
Beauty fades.
Susan makes her way through the dimly lit club. She passes right behind Jim and Des, who are drinking beer at the bar, but doesn't notice them.
There she is.
Where?
Right there, talking to the cigarette girl.
That's not Susan. I never even seen that girl before.
Yes, that's Susan. Do you think I should know?
Well, that might be a Susan, but that's not my Susan.
It's my Susan.
Well, then who is the girl at Battery Park?
While Des sits looking confused at the bar, Jim follows Susan into the ladies. She emerges from a cubicle wearing the sparkly black boots she got at the boutique.
So who's the stranger?
Jimmy!
Who's the stranger?
It's a long story.
Uh-huh.
You wouldn't know her anyway.
Her?
Yeah, her. Come on. Talk about it, Mike.
Roberta's in the dressing room.
Do you know what time it is? We got 3 minutes before curtain. Now get your wig on and get out there.
In a strapless dress with black bodice and pale tutu, Roberta grabs her wig, then scurries out.
What happened to Susan? Looks like you lost your girlfriend.
Hey, Larry, I'm married, all right?
Oh, please.
What?
They turn to look at the stage.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Magic Club. I'm your host, Ray, and we have a wonderful, let me tell
bartender,
you, a wonderful lineup
check,
of you people to see. Hey, is there anyone out here from Queens? You? Well, I'm from normal parents myself. Anyway, we got a special treat for you people this evening. Introducing the one, the only, Ian.
Susan, get up here.
Very lovely assistant. Davina, queen of the night. So let's hear it, ladies and gentlemen. Come on, let's hear it.
Ian's magic act begins with Roberta holding the birdcage.
Gary, is that?
Can't be. Hey, I'm really enjoying this. It's a great trick.
As Roberta transfers a bird between cages, Des stares at her.
Susan?
Roberta?
I don't believe it.
Roberta.
Gary, sit down.
Ian covers the caged birds with a silver cloth, while Roberta raises her arms with a flourish.
I think I'm gonna stand. Thank you.
Ian holds up the covered cage. Roberta expertly whips away the cloth, and the cage vanishes into thin air. For the next trick, she lies down in a wooden box that's split down the middle and gives the audience a little wave.
Cigars? Cigarettes? Tofu?
She's really got style in a way. She's good, Gary. Right, sorry.
The blonde man, Nolan, is sitting at the next table. Ian bangs a panel on the box, then slots it at the end, trapping Roberta's neck and hands. He flips up the sides, covering Roberta's body, and gets out a large saw, which he wraps on the box. As he begins sawing the box in two, Des laughs. Gary looks mortified. Ian splits the box in two, revealing thin air where Roberta's middle should be. Bravo! Roberta sees Nolan.
It's him! That's the guy!
He snatches her wig and earring. Band strikes up to cover up the mayhem.
Roberta! Roberta!
Who are you?
Gary and Des storm the stage, where Ian's standing like an idiot with two bunches of flowers. He takes a bow.
He hurt you!
Gary!
I'll kill
you! Oh, my God!
That's all right. I can take care of it from now on.
Who is this guy?
Wait, please,
this guy, who
please
are you? What do you mean? Who am I? Oh,
please. Gary. Des, this is Gary, my husband.
Hi. The hot tub salesman?
Yeah.
So you were telling me the truth last night.
Last night? Oh, no. Did you spend the night with this guy?
Yeah, Gary,
oh,
I have
to... See the pimp the police were telling me about?
I'm not a pimp. I'm a friend of hers, all right?
Please
wait,
just
wait,
tell
wait,
me
wait,
what's
wait,
going
Gary,
on here.
Please,
I'm not exactly sure myself. Well, I'd like to know.
Well,
so am I.
Wait a minute, please. Okay, listen. Des.
Yeah?
Des, I really need to talk to Gary alone, okay? Okay, please?
Okay. I really need some time alone, too. Sorry.
Des walks off, and Gary helps Roberta down from the box.
It's all right. Nightmare's over.
Nolan's creeping around backstage when he finds Susan and Jim snogging on a pinball machine and draws his gun.
I still don't understand what you're doing here with that guy.
What are you doing here?
Me? Wait a minute. Never mind that. Why did you leave me?
It was sort of an accident.
An accident? And when you were soliciting on the street, that was an accident too, right?
Yes, right, of course. Terrific. Gary! See, it all started with the personals. There was this ad for Susan. Desperately seeking Susan.
Nolan has Susan at gunpoint. Some men run in.
Where'd he go?
So then they thought I was a prostitute, and that's why I got arrested.
Roberta, are you a lesbian? Leslie told me lots of prostitutes are lesbians.
Gary, you're not listening to me. I'm not a prostitute or a lesbian.
We'll get professional help. I don't care how much it costs. The important thing is I want you to come home with me.
Why?
Why? What do you mean, why?
I mean, why do you want me to come home with you, Gary?
Come on, don't get excited, all right? Don't get excited. What, do you want drugs or something now?
God. Look at me.
I looked at you. You look ridiculous.
I mean, look at me, Gary. Look at me.
He turns and looks at her.
I'm not coming home with you.
You're just tired. Why don't you get changed and we'll talk about it at home. Right? Come on. Come on.
She doesn't move.
Fine. That's fine. Look, I'm going to go outside and I'm going to wait for 5 minutes. And if you're not there, I'm going to leave without you.
Goodbye, Gary.
He walks out of the dressing room. Nolan shoving Susan through the backstage area at gunpoint. He forces her up a ladder. She flips open a lid beside an air vent and clambers out. He follows her, gripping his gun and the wig. Gary walks by an open window, but doesn't see them on the other side.
Hey! Whoa! Whoa!
Nolan takes off her earring.
Where'd you get this? Stay.
Jim arrives at the ladder backstage. Nolan pushes Susan headfirst through the open dressing room window, where Roberta's still sitting. Susan mouths, "Help me," and Roberta grabs a bottle and smashes it over Nolan's head. He tumbles to the floor.
Good going, stranger. Susan.
The two women smile at each other. Then Jim dives in through the window.
Hi. What's going on?
My friend, this is the crucial moment. Our force field power plant has been transferred to the ship. Our defenses are at their weakest, almost fully automatic. The likelihood of a successful mutant attack is at its strongest. It's a bad combination.
But they may be unaware. No, we tried to keep...
At work, Des is watching the film Pattern for Plunder from the projector room when Roberta climbs up the stairs behind him. Wearing a green shimmery jacket in a style similar to Susan's one, she pokes him gently on the back.
Ow.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Okay.
So I guess your name isn't Susan, huh? So what is it?
Roberta.
Roberta?
Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
Their eyes lock and they come together for a kiss. They bang into the projector, causing the film to flicker, then melt. Sitting in the audience, Jim and Susan smile. Then she rests her head on his shoulder and he feeds her some popcorn. At a ceremony, the mayor hands a check to Susan, who then lifts up Roberta's arm triumphantly. The image freezes and becomes a newspaper front page photo with the headline, "What a Pair, Stolen Earrings Returned."